Welcome to Improv 409, the podcast that shines a spotlight on the improv community right here in Toledo, Ohio. Each episode, I'll sit down with local performers to talk about what makes improv exciting, terrifying, hilarious, and life-changing. You'll get behind-the-scenes stories, personal journeys, and maybe a few scenes and laughs along the way. If you've ever wondered what really happens on and off the stage, or if you've thought, improv sounds fun, but I could never, then you're in the right place. You'll get the Improv 411 here on Improv 419. I'm your host, Lindsay, and welcome. Today on Improv 419, I'm joined by one of my favorite performers to watch. He never leaves a scene partner behind and has one of the funniest minds in Toledo. We're talking beginnings, instincts, and what still scares him on stage. It's Mike Santry. Hi, Mike. Thanks for being here.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
I'm very excited to talk to you about improv today.
Yeah, I have things to say.
Good. They're being recorded, so we're very happy to hear them.
This is fantastic. I've been meaning to say things about improv to someone.
I feel very lucky to be the one to hear those things. I think I usually just start with the beginning. Yeah. So when did you start improv?
I started improv according to my Google emails, which I looked up today because I forgot when I started improv. It was in around 2018.
Exact date?
I don't have that.
That's okay.
But yeah, so I think like 8-ish years ago, took a level one.
Wow. What made you decide to sign up?
I liked comedy for a long time. I was a big coward. I was too afraid to do any of it. I spent a lot of time fantasizing about trying stand-up and writing jokes and then hating the jokes. And then not doing stand-up.
Okay. Did you do any sort of like theater in school? Like, was there a performance that you've done before?
Grade school, I did some like plays and stuff. But no, I didn't do a lot of like theater-y stuff. The closest I did was like I'd make some videos with friends every now and then. Like little sketches and skits and stuff. So I always liked comedy stuff and stuff like that. But yeah, just didn't quite have a, I don't know. I wanted to do more of it. And so, I found out about improv and did some research, and I was like, that sounds cool.
Did improv, like, fill that comedic desire you were looking for?
It did, yes, very much so.
I mean, I guess so. It's been 8 years that you've been doing it.
Yeah. No, it was huge, because it was actually, like, you know, I'd kind of just been spending a lot of time liking comedy, but, like, just being too afraid to do it, and improv's, like, such a good just get in there and do it kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you remember what it was like your first day of class?
Very nerve-wracking. Yeah, it was scary. I mean, like, they did everything right.
Yeah.
The teachers. It was, no one did anything wrong. It was just, I was very scared.
It's a scary thing to do.
Yeah.
Do you still feel that way 8 years later, like stepping out onto stage?
I do.
Oh, no. Yeah. I'm only 3 years in. I don't want to hear that.
It doesn't get better. No, it gets a little better.
It does. I mean, even for me, like performing 2 years, it's definitely different from the first day where I didn't even step out on stage sometimes.
Oh, yeah?
I was like, you know what? I'm not going to.
Oh.
Yeah. Did you ever?
Such humble beginnings.
Yes.
I love this for us.
Well.
We've come so far. Now we're on microphones.
I know. Yeah. People are actively listening to us.
Yeah.
So you mentioned that you did sketch and videos before, and now you're an award-winning filmmaker.
Award-winning filmmaker, yes.
Yeah. And
third
also doing
sketch.
Local
that's film festival.
That's an
but
award.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Is there, I was going to ask if you have a favorite between the three of sketch writing, filmmaking, and improv.
Gosh.
Or maybe they all tie in together somehow.
Exactly.
Okay.
I think they do all tie in together. I like them all for their own thing. I feel like since starting improv, I feel like I need to do improv these days. It just kind of like generates creativity. I feel like it's so good for that, of just like loosening up the mind and like being willing to try out ideas, which then I think has like greatly helped me with like sketch writing and trying to write things in general, because if you go into it with like that kind of improv mindset of just like loosey-goosey, let's try things, not be afraid.
Yeah, you kind of have to just let go.
Yeah.
Do you feel, you were saying that you still get nervous stepping out onto stage, something that you've prepared, like writing a sketch or filmmaking, when later on you're like, oh, people are going to be watching this? Is there still a fear with that, or is there more confidence?
The actual showing, yes, there is still fear. Making it and stuff, like it's all, you know, there's not an audience, so it feels very easy to do. But I will say, yeah, like when I, the last couple little short film things I did, when I was like playing it to an audience, I did get like very nervous. I was like, oh my gosh, is anyone going to like this? Is anyone going to think it's funny? So I guess there's nerves everywhere.
Yeah, it feels so third person almost, because you're also in the audience of this thing that they're watching. So like improv, you're doing it live as people are watching. So it's just a very, yeah, it would be nerve-wracking,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah. How are you with your nerves these days on stage?
I think I'm better. I do it. Mm-hmm. I still do it. And I think my goal is learning. I feel like I have a good excuse of being new still, to be like, well, I'm just learning. So if I mess up, then everything's still fine because I'll do better next time. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like I'll be doing that for the yep. rest of my life, apparently.
Yep. I still use that excuse myself.
Yeah. So. And it helps. Yeah. It helps me anyway.
Always learning.
So you did your film with Bob Lewis, is that correct?
Correct, yeah. Yeah.
So you seem to be collaborative in the comedy that you do.
Yeah, yeah. I think improv has been a very good thing for that, as you've probably found. Just like so many random people get into improv that have so many different hobbies and things that they do and like, that it's very cool because there's like someone in the community for every kind of little project or thing you might want to do.
Like, yeah. And improv seems like a good way to find your brethren, like-minded people. It's such a specific art for, I think, anyone to get drawn to. Is like, oh, I immediately have something in common with them.
Yeah, yeah. And I feel like it is such like a general like kind of art that, yeah, it kind of does bring like a lot of people that are just like, I just want to do something creative. So they're just throwing themselves out there. And they're up for a lot of stuff.
You're a very supportive scene partner, I would say. I don't want to sound creepy, but since like the first time I've been watching you perform, I'm like, oh, there's a lot of skills that you have where I want to steal them from you. But you seem to be like a very supportive scene partner with people. Like I've seen you walk out and whatever physicality they're doing, you'll just start mirroring it, even though you don't know exactly what the action is. Mm-hmm. Do you have a mindset when you step out onto stage to be like, oh, I'm going to support whatever their idea is?
Thank you for saying that. That's very nice. No, I mean, like, no, I never know what I'm doing. Okay. I think that's just been, like, more so just, like, a trick I've picked up. I mean, like, I like it. I like supporting people's ideas. I feel like, as an improviser, I'm not great at just, like, coming up with a bunch of ideas. I feel like I do lean more towards, like, helping someone else's idea, just because it feels like less pressure to me. Like if I come in with an idea and someone doesn't know what to do with it, I feel so bad because I'm like, I just really ruined this person's day by putting them in a spot they didn't want to be in. So if I can be the person that's just like, yeah, what you're doing, I'm going to do that too. It feels safer because I'm just like, I'm just helping you. I'm not ruining your day.
It works too. Do you feel in those moments in between understanding what they're doing where you're like, what the hell is this? Because, I mean, sometimes you just don't know. Like, it could be a full minute that you're standing there and you're like, I'm doing this, but I don't know where we're at. I don't know who I am.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you're right, supporting someone else's thing, you just got to keep doing it. That's the scary thing, too. Like, when they start doing something and you think they have something, but they don't. So then you're both just doing this thing. You don't know what you're doing.
Yeah. They're like, when are you going to say something? Yeah. When are you going to say something?
Yeah. Yeah. That gets a little scary. But there is something about getting on the same page with someone and doing the same thing. It brings some levity to it because it is very much like you're in the same boat and you're both trying to dig out of it together. Mm-hmm. You're not trapped by yourself. And there's something a little comforting about that.
Yeah, it's kind of the beauty of improv is you're both terrified and doing something very silly on stage.
Yeah, yeah. So,
do you have a favorite style of improv, or like, what are your favorite scenes? What do those look like?
I feel like I lean more towards I lean more towards long form improv over like short. What are my favorite scenes? That's a good question.
Or characters, like something where you're like, oh, this is really, like, I'm being very silly now, or serious, whatever you like to do.
Mm-hmm. Off the top of my head, I just feel like I do love scenes where people make a big, bold choice with a character. They're usually, I don't know, there's just something funny about someone making a big, bold character choice, coming out firing, and just, like, really committing to whatever weird thing they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I always appreciate that.
Does that help you discover who you're going to be in that scene too?
Absolutely. Yeah. Because like, right, if someone has like a big character and like you know exactly like what their archetype is, what they're doing, you know.
Yeah.
And they're a big, doesn't matter, whoever they are. Yeah. It's just like it gives you a wealth of knowledge of like, oh, that he's playing this big goofy character. I can contrast that with being a little mousy character, like, or join them.
And mm-hmm.
I feel like it's harder to do scenes when two people are just going out very soft and like discovering it, which is good too. That's the thing, like, all improv, like,
yeah.
Having any preferences in improv feels weird because it's all it can all be good if you just give it some care, you know.
Do you think that like care and commitment is really what, no matter how a scene starts, like, is there, like, a foundation, you think, to make a good scene?
I think so. All of my improv thoughts are scattered and bad. And I think I know things at times, and then I completely reverse on them. But in this moment, I feel like the biggest thing for me in scenes is just caring deeply about something, either in a positive or negative way. Just caring about something. Because, like, that's when I feel the most lost, is when I'm in a scene and I don't really know what I care about. I'm just, like, there and I'm existing. And it's, like, that's not very fun. I feel like it's good to just, like, really hammer down in a scene. Be like, okay, what am I doing here? Why should anyone care about what I'm doing right now? What do I care about?
I really like that. And I want to remember to write that down after this. Do you have other artistic forms that you're looking to kind of delve into and express the comedy?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I tinker around in like a lot of different things. I'm kind of jack of all trades, master of none kind of deal. But like, I enjoy it. I like doing a lot of things. So I want to keep doing improv. I want to keep doing sketch stuff. I want to make some little short films. I dabble in like animation and doodling from time to time, and like, yeah, so I just like all
I
that
heard
stuff.
Stop motion also.
I do it's been a while, but
through the grapevine.
Yeah, yeah. Who told you this?
Somebody we mutually know.
Okay.
I don't know.
I gotta put the snafu on that.
I can't give away my sources. I'm a professional journalist.
That's fair.
Speaking of sketch writing too, we have Chapel Groans coming up in Toledo. I might have read some of your sketches that were posted in the Google Drive.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any that you're particularly excited about, or not to give away what the show might be?
Yeah.
Or what makes you proud of a sketch?
Proud of a sketch?
Yeah.
Well, I never know if I'm proud of it until after it plays, because sometimes it can sound very funny on paper, then it can bomb on stage. But I have a few in there that are like little short, silly ones.
I thought they were very funny.
Yeah.
And very silly. When you think a sketch bombs, or even improv, is it because of the audience? If it had been a different audience, do you think it could play differently?
It's possible. Yeah.
Yeah. In improv, all things are possible.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good point, right? Like, you shouldn't beat yourself up over a show because it could have just been the audience, I guess.
Yeah, blame them.
Yeah, exactly. We're fine.
It's not your fault. Do you have any advice for people that are looking to maybe be future improvisers and join us in the fear on stage?
Mm-hmm. I would say do a little bit of research, but don't spend too much time. I think when I got into improv, something that did help me was that like when I was thinking about signing up for a class, I am pretty anxious about stuff like that. So like I I did a lot of research. I like watched a bunch of YouTube videos of like long form improv sets and like got an idea of like what it even was, because I was very green to it all. So I think just having that, having like watched a bunch and like having some more familiarity with it, made it a little easier for me to jump into it. But at the same time, I waited way too long and I should have jumped in way sooner. So my advice is also like, don't worry too much. You'll be fine. So, but
so there's a balance between watch like two YouTube videos.
Yeah, and instead of a whole channels. But, you know.
Yeah. Would you be down to do some improv?
Yeah.
Our suggestion was beach ball.
Beach ball. Okay.
Yep. Well, Thomas? No, don't start pouting.
I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be on this beach. There's sand and crabs. My two least favorite things.
You have to come outside. Sometimes. I plan this special day for you.
I have a friend online that says he never has to leave.
Oh my God, you're talking about Jacob again?
Yes. Jacob never has to leave. His family DoorDashes him food. He's very happy.
He's an enabler. He's enabling your isolation. And I want you out of our basement.
Can I just turn on the beach simulator in the basement again?
I paid so much money for that. I'm glad that you like it and that you're utilizing it. But look, this isn't a simulation. This is real life.
Yeah, but it's worse, because then if there's crabs out here, I can't just delete them like I can in the simulator.
You're deleting the crabs.
I delete all of them. I hate them. They're scary.
Then you're just sitting in like an empty gray box, like our basement. You're just assimilation of.
Well, yeah, I deleted the sand too. It's just me in the sky.
I don't know what to do with you anymore.
Mom, it's what I like. It's what I like.
And I tried to support you for so many years. But you're in your 30s now.
I'm your son.
I want to start dating.
What?
I want to start dating again.
Why?
Because I'm sad. I'm sad that my son lives in my basement and lives inside a fake gray room inside of a real gray room.
I like it. You should be happy that your son's happy.
I guess on some level, sure.
Who are you going to date? Rob from next door?
You think?
I hope not. He's outside all the time.
I mean, he did come over and fix the fence. He's a gentleman.
I didn't hear about this. He's the one that fixed the fence?
Yeah. It's not like you would do it. I asked you to.
I did it in the simulator.
You wouldn't even come upstairs.
Yeah, I did the work in the simulator.
Yeah, but meanwhile,
you can use the fence in my simulator. Just come. You don't come down. You barely come down to the basement anymore. I
can't tolerate it. It just makes me more sad. I'm sad upstairs by myself, and then being even sadder in the basement with you.
Gosh.
And Rob, stop the raccoons from coming in.
Oh. There were some raccoons in the simulator. I deleted them.
You sound like a monster. You're deleting these innocent animals.
It is my domain in which I control. If they want to sneak into my domain, they get deleted.
That's Jacob talking. That's your friendship with Jacob, and I swear I'm going to call his mother.
Please don't.
Barb and I have been talking.
No.
Yeah. We think you and Jacob should actually maybe be roommates.
Jacob's a mess. Jacob stinks.
That's
it's
your
better
best
this
friend.
Way. Yeah, I mean, he's in the simulator with me, but it's over the internet. I met him once in real. I dropped off some Legos at his house once, and he stinked real bad.
Oh, well, you're a good boy. That was nice that you gave him your Legos.
They were taking up too much space in the basement.
Yeah, it's bleak down there, hon. I don't know if I would rather have you stink and be covered in Legos.
What if, listen, we can start going to Long John Silver's again. I admit that I have not been doing that with you lately. And
really?
I'm sorry for that. I can agree to do that. But let's just put this Rob business to rest. We don't need Rob. You're happy. You know deep down you're happy.
I think he loves hush puppies. And see. Thank you so much for being here, Mike.
My pleasure.
It was very nice talking with you.
Me too.
Would you like to pitch the things that you have written down on that piece of paper?
I would, yeah. One thing I want to pitch is the Chapel Groans Improv Phenomenon. I think I said that right.
It sounded great to me.
Can I say it one more time? Yeah. Chapel Groans Improv Phenomenon.
And I believe that it takes place April 17th through the 19th.
That's exactly right. It's part of Actors Collaborative Toledo, and it's taking place at Trinity Episcopal Church in downtown Toledo. It should be fun. There's going to be sketches and improv, and yeah, it'll be a good time.
It'll be a great time, and people should Google it.
Yeah, and you'll be there. You'll be performing, right?
I will be there in sketches and improv.
That's awesome.
Thank you to WGTE, Voices Around Us, and our producer, Chris Pfeiffer, for making this podcast possible. And of course, thank you to today's guests for sharing their stories and their love of improv. You can find Improv 419 at wgte.org/improv419 or any podcast streaming platform. And finally, thank you to you, the listeners, for tuning in and supporting. Please check out the other wonderful podcasts, part of the Voices Around Us series, and stay tuned for more Improv 419 episodes.
WGTE. Voices Around Us.